I want to preach upon this thought this morning. Why did you come here to worship? What is your motivation in your worship today? Now we hope, and I would imagine that most people here claims to be saved. Now if you're not saved, then you need to come and meet with the Lord. You need saving grace from Him. You need to recognize the fact that you are lost, the destination that lies ahead of you, and only Jesus can save you through His sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. We hope and pray that if you're here lost this morning, that you would come. Each of us have come that are saved, truly saved. We have come some given time in our life when God showed us and convicted us of our lost condition. So today, if you hear His voice, we would bid, harden not your hearts, but come. I want to look at two worshipers that Jesus gave in a parable in chapter 18 of Luke. And stay with me this morning if you would, and want to share with you. I want you to think about this and stay with me this morning. And I want you to think about a couple things as we cross over some of this text. It said, and He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in what? What does it say? Luke 18, verse number 9. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were what? Righteous, and they did what? Despised others. Now let me tell you something. Get this a minute. When you start measuring other people by yourself, it's a good chance that you learn to despise others or look down upon them. You think that they're not as good as you. You think that that you have accomplished something they haven't accomplished. And so the Bible says that Jesus directed this parable toward those that trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and that they despised others. Look in verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now you know a Pharisee was a religious leader there in that day. They were someone who they would dress the occasion. They would wear certain clothes. They would wear scripture around their head and around their arms, let everybody know that they were righteous. And they walk around in piety, and they thought themselves to be so much better than other people, holier than thou. And the publican was someone that was hated. It was a Jew that had crossed over and working for the Roman government, collecting taxes. Sort of like the IRS, nobody liked them a lot. Well, they really despised them because they thought they were traitors. And they, if you wanted to call somebody a low name, but the lowest name you could call them is a publican. And so Jesus said, I want to teach you a lesson. You Pharisees that trust in yourself and believe that you are righteous in your own works, and you despise other people by looking down your nose at other people. He said, let me tell you this story, this parable about this Pharisee and this publican that went to the temple to pray. Verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus goes on and says in verse 14, I'll tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, let me share with you a couple of thoughts, and I want you to stay with me. And somebody said, well, how is this applicable to the church? And I want to show you a truth or two that we can gather from this. But first of all, I want you to look at the Pharisee. I want you to notice that he came to the temple with no, his idea of worship was to come, not because he felt he was a sinner, not because he felt he needed to find pardon for his sins, Not because he felt he needed to confess something that he is doing or that he needed God. He come in hopes of winning commendation from everybody else. When people would look at him, he wanted their praise. And so therefore, he went to the temple because he felt that was his responsibility and what people thought he ought to do. Now listen to me. I hope you just didn't come to church because that was the thing to do. And you worried about what somebody would say if you didn't show up. Well, I'm going to go to church. That preacher, he'll ask me where I was, and I don't have a good answer. Is that why you're here? The Pharisee, they came. They didn't have any hopes of coming, and they came because of their own merit. They thought they would come, and they could present themselves before God, and they could recommend themselves because they were such high stuff. Man, they thought they were it. They thought nobody could mark their righteousness. Thought nobody could be like them. But Jesus said, except your righteousness of Pharisee, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so therefore, he thought he was so much and so worthy. And therefore, he thought that he was there just for man and God, that they could look upon him and evaluate what a good person he was. Now, let me say this. He was full of self-praise. He looked it, he talked it, he even prayed it. He thought that because he was there, he thought nobody else was like him, especially this poor old publican. And so he begins to judge the other guy's character. Now listen to me. Get this a minute. There's a lot of people that come to church, and they'll judge other people. And they'll judge themselves by looking at other people. But nowhere does the Bible ever teach you to judge yourself with someone else. When you come to church, you judge yourself in light of a holy God. And let me ask you this. Where do you stand in all your perfection when you realize that God knows everything about you? He knows your deep, darkest secret. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything you've done this week. He knows everything you did all your life. He knows all the good things and the bad things. And therefore, he sees you for who you are. And so there you're standing before God that cannot look upon sin. And had it not been for Jesus reconciling a sinner with the holy God, we could not ever go to heaven. It's only through Jesus and his shed blood that we can be brought nigh unto God. Because our sins can be put underneath his blood. His righteousness can be imputed to us. But let me ask you this. Did you come here this morning recognizing that you are not to compare yourself with someone else and God's not impressed because of your comparison between you and somebody else? He wants you to look at yourself before a holy God. That's the attitude he wants you to have. Now, as a matter of fact, this guy is so full of himself, he begins to let us all know all his good deeds. He goes on, if you look over there, he went and he began to say, listen, I'm not like other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even as this old publican. He goes on, he said that he would tithe with his money, and let me find where I want to go here. I went blank. He said in verse 12, he said, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all possessed. And he began to express all his goodness. And you see his good deeds. His religion, though, now get this a minute. His religion was just outside, external. He painted the outside to look good. It didn't touch his soul. Now, if what you have and possess doesn't get down into your soul, you got nothing. You say, well, preacher, everybody thinks good of me. People can think good of you, you can die and go to hell. You know, first thing a lot of times in funerals, people comes up to you and they say, listen, no, my dad never went to church. Nah, he never did it, but he was a good man. Then they want you to get up there and preach his goodness, come to heaven. Can't do that. Listen, nobody's goodness is good. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, there is none good, no what? And if it means not one, it means not you as the one, not me as the one. We all fall short of the glory of God. Would you agree with that? And so here he thought his righteousness, his righteousness would satisfy God. And he felt that while he went to worship because of he trusted in himself. He trusted in his own righteousness, and therefore he got the spirit of Satan. You know what the spirit of Satan is? Pride. In other words, he began to think too much of himself. The Bible says when a man thinks him to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And you know, when we come here to church, now listen to me, when we come here and we think that because we're here at church, we're better than other people, you missed the whole reason of coming. And maybe you're sitting there looking across at someone else and say, well, look over there sitting. I'm definitely better than that person over there. But what you need to understand is this. God nowhere tells you to measure yourself with anybody else. The one you measure yourself with is the Son of God. And when you put yourself beside the Son of God, I know where you're going to hit. You're going to hit way down here. And so this guy, he went, the Pharisee, he went, and so he was just trusting himself. Then you got the publican. And by the way, he left empty too, because it's impossible to commune with God when you think so much of yourself. The number one thing that God says he hates in Proverbs chapter 6 is a proud look. That means your pride. Pride is the worst thing we can do. And boy, if the devil can ever get into you to do anything, and he builds up pride in you. He looks and he makes you think that you, because you don't do this, that you're better than somebody else. Don't fall for that trap. Second of all, this publican come. He went in with other people to the temple, but he separated himself off. He stood back. He recognized the fact that he had nothing to offer God. He was nothing but a poor sinner, made no excuses for it. He knew exactly. And he come and he cried out to God just to have mercy. He couldn't say, look at me, God. See what I am. See all that I am. See what I've got to offer to you. And let everybody see and recognize who I am. He wouldn't even raise his head. And he just smote himself and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now listen to me a minute. If you really want to worship God when you come into this place, you come into it with the attitude of say, God, I'm nothing without you. God, I need something from you. Lord, I'd be a miserable failure without you. Amen. I've got nothing to offer, but all I can do is come and call out on the mercy and grace of God. Now, I said that to say this. All the way down through history, there's always been these two type of worshipers. From the very beginning, the first two brothers that you had, Cain and Abel, you know what they exemplified this exact thing. Cain came, he said, listen, look at me. This is what my hands have prepared. God, receive it because of all the good works that I put into this thing. Therefore, you receive it because of who I am. He didn't come sorrowful for his sin. He didn't recognize the need of God. He just wanted to come present it to God to be commended by God. And God rejected his offer. Abel came bringing a blood sacrifice, representing the fact that he had nothing worthy. Somebody innocent, the innocent blood had to be shed for his sins because he had no way of finding favor with God with his own works. Cain depended upon his works. The Bible calls it the way of Cain. Abel did not. Now you say, well, preacher, we're not like Cain and Abel. I'm saved. Now listen to me and stay with me a minute. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, that the last church age in a time in which we live is going to be a group of people called the Church of Laodicea. We're going to have the same attitude as they had. You know what kind of attitude they had? The Pharisee attitude. They had pride. You know why? You say, how do you know they had that pride? Because they would come into church and they would say, listen, we're rich. We have need of nothing. Therefore, they didn't come calling upon God, asking God to do anything in their life. They come, and they would look at other people, and they said, listen, we're better off than they are, and so therefore, we must be pretty good shape in front of God. And the Bible says that they would come, and they would have this attitude. And you know, the Bible gives an example of one. I'll just pull this one. And I'm going to use him for example this morning to show you our attitude, how we come worship. Peter, he exemplified both attitudes. Now, if you remember, Jesus told Peter that he was going to have to go and die upon the cross of Calvary. And of course, Peter didn't like it. Get in your Bible real quickly and turn over to the book of Mark chapter 14. And notice what Peter tells Jesus. You know, I'm afraid like Peter sometimes, we get too busy telling Jesus who and what we are rather than listen to Jesus tell us what we are. And so in chapter 14, verse number 27, Jesus said unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, and I will go before you into Galilee." So Jesus said, listen, I want you all to be prepared and understand that something's going to happen. And what he was doing is trying to prepare them for when he went to the cross of Calvary. They wouldn't understand everything about it, but he wanted to know that that was fulfilling prophecy, the scripture. He had to go there. But now notice what Peter said in verse 29. And Jesus told him all would be offended, but Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not what?" Peter didn't recognize his own danger. Peter thought that he could handle the temptations of Satan himself. Now Jesus went on, notice what Jesus said to him, verse 30, and Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." But he spake the more fervently, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." And so what Peter said was this. He said, now listen. Peter came to Jesus. He said, listen, I can handle this. I've been saved. I can handle anything that the devil throws at me. Now listen to me. We come to church and we get used to coming. And we come and we sit down and we say, oh, we're saved. But we come and we sit there and we sit there kind of arrogant, thinking because we got saved that we've got everything in line, not recognizing that Satan's going to come and be tempting us all the time. He's coming at us, and about the very time that you think that you've got it all whipped, he's going to whip you. Now, Peter had this idea. He was a saved man. And Peter had this idea that he said, hey, Jesus said, all you're going to be offended for what's going to happen tonight. Peter said, they might, but not me. I can handle it. I'll tell you this. I'll die before I ever deny you. And I'll die before I ever get... And you know what? Jesus told me, he said, now you need to understand, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Now you know the story, and I'm not going to go back and read it all, but you know the story how that Peter went, and he followed Jesus far off when the guards come and took him, and they took Jesus and took him in, whipped him and beat him and all those things. And so Peter was outside around the fire, and they got looking at Peter and said, aren't you one of those that followed Jesus? He said, no. And he began to deny knowing him. Then the third time, he even went so far as to curse Jesus and say that he didn't know him at all. Now imagine this. And then all of a sudden, the cock crowed. And Peter realized and remembered the words of Jesus. Then about that time, here they come leading Jesus out. Had a crown of thorns, bleeding from his face, been beaten, pulled his beard, probably had blotches of his beard pulled out, and all those things. Here they come leading Jesus out. And Peter just got through cursing, denying he even knew him. Yeah. Now, even though he just got through saying earlier that, no, there ain't no way. I'll die before I do something like that. Yeah. Then Jesus turned and he looked. And when he looked at Peter, Peter run out and he wept. Yeah. And he repented. The Bible says he wept bitterly. Now, imagine this. And Jesus went on to the cross of Calvary. Now, Peter was over here and he recognized a fact of how ignorant he was in what he had done. You see, he had boasted and got full of pride. He thought he could handle whatever come his way. Now, I'm going to tell you something, me included, just with you, We get so comfortable in our Christian life that we think that we can just handle everything by ourselves. And what we do is when we come to worship, we go through a couple songs, we go through a couple of things that we do, and we get in routines, and we're bad for that. We're bad for that here, we're bad for that other people. We get in such routines that we come to worship for all the wrong reasons, and we sit here and we think because we're here, something makes us better than somebody else. But what we need to realize is this, what Peter came to realize was this, even though he was saved, you can't boast of yourself. You've got to have the Lord in every aspect of life or you're going to fall on your face, even after you get saved. The devil's going to come and can I tell you this? He is a lot better at getting you to fall than what you are at keeping yourself from falling. And when it's a contest between you and the devil, you're going to lose. And so here, Peter lost. And of course, later on, the first thing that Jesus did after he was resurrected, and by the way, this was a turning point in Peter's life, never again do you find Peter boasting. Never again do you find him bragging. He learned something that day, and he learned that he is spirit of worship. He had to come realizing that he needed God. He needed a supernatural strength to be able to fight, and grace of God to be able to deal with the issues that he's going to face. And so what happened was, that pride that had got him to boast so much of himself, he found out and he went out and he cried out to God. Now when Peter, and by the way, it was necessary for Peter because he had to learn his own defects. Can I tell you this? If you'd be honest with yourself, if I started right here, I'll start you. You're a good example, okay? Could you stand up and begin to share some defects? I'm not going to ask you to do that, but could you share defects about you that God sees in you right now? I could too. Matter of fact, I could be here a long time. I could sit here and tell you how short I fall. I'll tell you times when I thought, man, I thought I had it whipped, and the old devil come along and just knock my feet out from under me. And I find myself, sometimes I find myself, Paul put it this way. He said, those things I would do, I do not. And those things I would not do, those things I find myself doing. In other words, he said, I battle this battle, the flesh and the spirit all the time. And he said, I think when I think myself to be something, I find myself to be nothing. Because I find that I just can't make it by myself. And so therefore, what Peter had to learn, he had to learn that he needed Jesus. Now, he went out and he wept bitterly, but I'm sure in his mind, he still questioned what he thought about it. And so when the women saw Jesus resurrected, he said, go tell Peter and the rest of the disciples that I've resurrected. Now, he specifically mentioned Peter because Peter was down. And then all of a sudden, Peter was out there fishing. And so what Jesus did was he come out and he was on the bank. And they recognized it was Jesus, and they come in, and three times Jesus asked him, he said, Simon, son of Bar-Jonas, lovest thou these more than me? And three times Peter was troubled because Jesus asked him three times, but again, he denied him three times. And so each time he'd say, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. He got a commission from Jesus. Now, what you need to understand is this. The wonderful thing that Peter learned was this. Even in our failures after we've been saved. The Bible says, in talking saved people, by the way, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgives our sins and cleanses of all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar and the truth's not in us. There's not a person in here that can stand up and in this congregation today, honestly speaking, and say, I have no sin. Not a one. And by the way, if you really know yourself, now, Jesse here, I'll pick on him too. He needs picking on occasionally. Jesse, I think he's a pretty good fellow. But when it comes comparing him to somebody else, he might look pretty good. But when he stands before God and looks at himself before God, there's all kinds of shortcomings in Jesse's life. regardless of how well he does. Because that's just the nature of who we are. We are just sinners saved by the grace of God. And after we get saved, we have to continue to depend upon him. And so what happened was, afterwards, Jesus come and Peter got his commission to go out and to feed the lambs. But he found out that Jesus was willing to forgive him and to restore him exactly to where he wanted him to do and to find out. And you see, what we need to understand is this. Jesus made a statement that the reason why he come was to heal the brokenhearted and do all those things. But he can't help you if you do not recognize who you truly are. And so this morning, I wanted to give you this one little simple truth, and that's this. Why did you come to worship? The tendency of the church in the day in which we live is this, is to come, sit on the pew, go through the motions, and think that there's nothing wrong with you. When in reality, the reason why we need to come here is this. Now, Brother Junior, I'll pick on him. How old are you, Brother Junior? You don't keep mind telling me. 73. 73. Now, Brother Junior, he's a pretty good fella. Willing to do whatever anybody asks him to do here. But listen, if he didn't come this morning to this church to sit here in this pew and sit before the presence of God and come and say, God, I need you. I can't make it without you. God, I fall so short in my life. I want to thank you for the blood of Jesus. I want to thank you for your grace and mercy. But Lord, your goodness to me. All I can do when I realize how good you've been to me, how much you love me, all I can do is bow my head in shame and think how I fail you, how I fall short. Now, if he didn't come that way, he'd come for the wrong reason. If he come and he sat here and he come and said, well, listen, I'm here because I'm better than somebody else. I went to church on Sunday. I didn't do this, and I did this, and I done this. I brought my tithes. I brought my offerings. I've done this. I've done a little work here. I fulfilled a job here. If that's the reason he came and said, boy, when I stand up here and I want to share that word with everybody, I want everybody to praise me for what I know and what I said. If that was the reason he came with the wrong spirit. And he got nothing. He'll leave empty. But if you come with the spirit of recognizing who and what you are, and what happens is sometimes there's things that has to come in our life to let us realize of how insufficient we are. And boy, I broke Peter. And if there's one thing I've learned as a Christian, it's this. Jesus is a vine. We are the branches. Without him, we can do what? Zilch. Somebody said, preacher, I'm going to go do this. Not without Jesus, you won't. Somebody said, well, he's a good preacher. Not without Jesus, he ain't. Somebody said, boy, they sing. They're full of spirit. Not without Jesus, they're not. Somebody said, well, I'm going to go out here and face Satan's battles each and every day. Not without Jesus, you're not. You're nothing without him. Therefore, when we come to worship, we are reminded Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night that we have to have Jesus. Yes, and we have nothing to offer him, but he has everything to offer us. So this morning, how are you? Maybe you're here and you're not saved. You need to come. Until you get saved, you have no relationship with God. You're an enemy of God. Only Jesus can bring you to God, and you need to come. Maybe you're here and you are saved, but God spoke to your heart in some form and fashion. As we stand and get a song of invitation, Brother Porter. Would you come? Let him have his way. How about this morning?